thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
Welcome to our Wednesday Roundtable edition of Journey Now. I'm Grant, and I'm here with some of the esteemed pastors from Journey.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
Thank you for letting me introduce you, Kevin.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you're going to introduce me?
If that's what we're doing, I've lost control already. So just
and
go.
And this is Tim Timmons.
Timmons.
Yes. I would like to be introduced.
And on my left.
Yes.
Weighing in at, oh no, don't say that.
No. Not cool.
Who are you?
Susie Lind.
Nice. So before we start today, I want to invite all of our listeners into this discussion. So if you have any question or feedback on the topics we discuss or even random other questions, just send them to me at grant@journeytn.com. That's Grant, G-R-A-N-T, at journeytn.com. And we'll tackle some of your questions in the coming episodes. You might even try and stump the panel if you want to. So, enough intro. This week, Kevin got a ton of reaction to his message on unity.
If you haven't,
if you haven't seen the message or heard the message, you can go back and do that on our website or on YouTube, all the usual places. But
it was like water to a dry and parched soul of disunity.
Wow.
Poetry. I think that's what it felt like. That's People are so exhausted by disunity and discord that that message was like, it really was like water to the soul.
So, a little inside baseball. Originally,
that wasn't the topic.
Exactly. How did you know I was going to ask you about that? We were going to talk more about conflict, which is maybe the problem that unity fixes, right? So, how did that all come together, Kevin? How did you make the shift, and how did the message that you did? Why did that feel so right?
That's a really good question. I wrote two messages. The first one was on the conflict between Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts, where they decided to part company, is rooted in the idea of iron sharpening iron and the value of relational conflict if it's handled well. And I still strongly believe in that. And then as I sat in... a lot of what I was thinking about, it didn't feel like what was needed at the moment, be honest. And so I started to just sit in the idea of, well, we're sitting in such a dark place culturally because of the chasm of our culture, the polarization of us politically, ethnically, all kinds of places. And people are really getting either tugged one way or another or don't know what to do. So I thought I'd speak to that. That's how I kind of landed there.
So, Susie, you were upstairs during the first gathering. And you were actually in the biblical unity class.
Yeah.
And you're a part of that too, Tim, though you were out of town this weekend, right? So how did what was happening upstairs in that classroom match up for you with what you heard downstairs when you came down for 11 o'clock or 11:30?
I mean, it was really amazing. I mean, that the biblical unity class is really it's a 10-week class that is really addressing the issue of racism and what role does the Imago Dei, what role does the church have to play in a society that has been so shaped by racist ideas and beliefs. And so the foundation right now, this is only week two of the class. So the foundation that was being set is really the biblical foundation that God has for unity of all his people, not just black and white, but all his people. And so for the class, we went through the book of Ephesians. Well, first he started with John 17, which is what Kevin also started his message with.
Yeah.
So Anthony started his message with John 17 of Jesus's high priestly prayer for the apostles and those that come after the apostles. that they may be one, and that through their oneness, through their unity, that the world would know. So it's for the purpose of Jesus to be made known to all people. Mm-hmm. And that's what the purpose of the unity is. And then he went into the way it was carried out in Acts 11, I believe. And then he called it the prescription that Paul gave to it through the book of Ephesians. And basically everyone in the class was, their minds were blown in terms of reading through Ephesians through the angle of the calling that Paul keeps talking about is our calling to unity, not necessarily just our calling to oneness with Christ, but our oneness with each other. And there's a lot of conversation that Paul has in Ephesians about different ethnicities coming together and the walls being torn down between these two different ethnicities. And so when we walked into the sermon at 11, I mean, those of us who were in the class were wanting to run laps around the gathering space because it was so, like, so meaningful. And it was, what was interesting was because the class, the focus of the class is racism and the relationship between blacks and whites and all that in America and the world, really, there was a part of me in the message that wanted Kevin to talk about that also. But then at the end, I was so glad that you didn't, because you raised the conversation beyond this particular issue that is on the forefront of so many of us, our minds. You raised the issue to be a kingdom personhood issue, yeah, a Christ-centered personhood issue. Mm-hmm. And so it just made it so much more valuable to the conversation on race and understanding people who are different than us and tearing down those strongholds that we still are shaped by.
Yeah.
So
Tim, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're the relationship guy.
Sure.
We'll go with that for a moment, okay, sure. Right?
Yes.
You were on a river this weekend.
In Montana, yeah.
Was there something that you learned in the conversation before we get into relationships?
About conflict?
Conflict, unity, were you one with Montana?
The fish had conflict with me.
And how was that resolved?
I threw them back in the river.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good for you.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
So I guess the question I have for you is this whole idea, what Susie's talking about, and I think we're going to get to it when we talk with Paul and Barnabas too, is this relationship of issues to relationship, right? So you can have conflict over issues, but the relationship between each other and with God remains. So how do you do that?
I mean, I think that's what we're all trying to figure out right now. I mean, we've got so many friends, you know, we've talked about this before, but we have friends who are on every side of every possible issue. I mean, all possible issues and all possible theologies and all possible reasons why all the things are happening. I mean, you know, down to we just had the recent fires. There were just big fires in California. And friends are saying, well, that's because somebody said that for this reason. And the Democrat, I mean, it's just like, golly, how do we do this? So my wife and I, in a lot of ways, are trying to figure out how do we just continue relationship in the midst of disagreeing. And ultimately, I think it comes down to humility. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even that genius of a statement. It just does come down to a true humility. And I haven't seen... in the people that can't continue to have conflict, there's no humility to say, well, I might be wrong.
Right. They're right. That's where the disagreement sits.
There's so much certainty in it that it makes it, it's like, well, I don't know how we can have a relationship. I was with a friend this week, and actually his wife believes very different in the season than he does. And I was like, oh gosh, that's a real wild way of trying to live this season. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard on their marriage. I mean, their marriage, they're really going through some crazy things because all she can talk about is this other stuff. And it's just coming from that point of view. And he's like, how do we continue to have a relationship in the midst of this? Yeah. So anyways, I was walking with him through that.
Rough.
But humility seems to be the aim. And we talked to Mike.
Yeah. It's holding loosely your views enough to be able to hear the other person. But if you're doing that mutually, it has a different feel to it than me trying to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. Yeah. And I think therein lies one. I think that's one of the aspects of the church that has to reemerge, that we can have different opinions, we can have different ideas. And I actually believe that we should pray that we do, because then we will be people of the way of Jesus in all these different venues to allow people to see that unity isn't about agreement. Yeah. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
We've just also been talking about this idea of how do we, in those relationships, how do we talk about things that aren't about those things, but how do we talk about how is this working in your heart? How is this playing out in you? Mm-hmm. What fears is bringing up? Not saying whether it's right or wrong. Let's not even get into that right now.
But just asking questions.
Yeah, like how's it going for you? Good. This is how it's going for me. Like I'm nervous about this and dealing more with the heart than the presenting issues, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So this is where I want to come back to Paul and Barnabas, because we didn't get to hear that on Sunday.
Right, you didn't.
But I think that there's some really interesting heart things that you can bring out of that whole conflict.
Oh, yeah.
So without going too far, Kevin, can you just sort of, for people who haven't read that lately, can you sort of paraphrase it?
Paul and Barnabas were partners in planting churches, and they came back. They had a conflict, actually, that had to be resolved, not between the two of them, but between the Gentiles and the Jews, and that was great. And then they decided to go back and revisit the churches and just encourage them. So all the churches that they planted, well, they couldn't agree on who to bring with them. And so they argued over a guy by the name of John Mark. And
Barnabas's cousin.
Barnabas championed John Mark. And Paul was like, nope, he deserted us on our last missionary journey, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I'm not bringing him back. He's proven himself to be unfaithful. Well, they had such a disagreement that they split. Barnabas took John Mark and went his way, and Paul took Silas and went his way. And the story kind of trails off about Barnabas and John Mark. But at the end of Paul's life, we get a glimpse back into that, where he tells Timothy to bring John Mark to him.
Right. That's what I was going to mention. Yeah. Exactly that, is that they split over the issue, right? They say, you feel you have to have this person with you. I feel you don't. Yep. Therefore, we're going to have to just split up.
Yeah, which they did.
But there's still the respect and the love and the relationship there, because later on in 2 Timothy, where he sends for John Mark and says he's useful to me.
Yeah.
And then he talks about Barnabas too and says, receive him warmly, give him money, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So,
well, there's also the idea that the conflict and the separation was actually used to advance God's kingdom.
Yeah. They didn't need to be together anymore.
They actually went further and reached more people. So sometimes God uses those separations to reposition his people. That's where he needs them to be.
That's good.
And I also don't fully see that Paul was thinking in that moment, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna really bless them and let them go on their way. Like,
oh no,
he probably blessed them.
Like,
all right.
He's like,
he said, bless you, like, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It was more of a bless your heart. Yes, taking Silas.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Good luck, Barnabas.
And that we almost get to see from the backside of all that this like age and wisdom. And learn from that versus in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The moment was probably dirty and gross, and like many church splits today that you're like, oh, that is so gross. And I hate how that was handled. And I probably would have hated how that was handled.
Yeah.
But to look back and go, cool. Then when he was older, what can we learn from that wise?
Restoration.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was redeemed. The moment was redeemed.
It's good.
Yeah.
And I wonder what Barnabas and John Mark accomplished that Paul would not have been able to from his perspective. This is how we sort of bring it back around to diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if nothing else, if all we know is that relationship redeemed John Mark, that's all we know in the eyes of Paul. And so he was able to build back into somebody that abandoned them a restorative trust that Paul, while in prison, would say, I want him to come to me,
mm-hmm.
which he wasn't even going to go anywhere with that guy. And now it's a trust. There's a trust that got rebuilt. And whether they went and planted a bunch of churches or they, you know, really, and I think they did. I think they did miraculous things. I think God used them mightily. But at the end of the day, we see the restoring of someone who once was broken mm-hmm. back to relationship, which is really powerful, which is the gospel.
And maybe even the restoration of Paul and
right.
forgiveness mm-hmm. and maybe making some poor leadership strategies. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we weren't yeah. there.
But there was a softening. There's a softening of Paul's heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That yeah. all this time of talking about grace and all this mm-hmm. time of talking about forgiveness and all those things that he wrote in those letters and that he demonstrated settles on him at some point in his life. And
yeah.
he goes, I need to restore this. And he does.
Mm. Well, I'm so glad we had the chance to talk a little bit more today about not just unity,
right.
but unity and conflict as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
And in a few weeks, we're going to be starting a new series on what it means to be united mm-hmm. as Jesus followers mm-hmm. and as citizens as we head into the winter and the election and whatever else 2020 happens to throw at us. So stay tuned for that, guys. And meanwhile, that's it for this week's roundtable. And I hope you'll come back tomorrow for another regular episode of our Journey Now podcast. See you later.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.